Let's do this. Thank you. I'll be here all day. Love that canned noise. Well, welcome to Germ Rants, Raves, and Reviews. I'm Pugsley, and this is Germ, the podcast pug. Shit. Boom, we already fucked it up. I know. Let's try it again. I'm looking at my dog. No, seriously, this is Germ. This is Pugsley. And today I want to rant about skateboards. More canned drum noise and a funky beat for us to dance to really quick. Ready? Yeah. Okay, so today I'm still the world's best farter. Little sippy sip. So I want to talk about skateboards. I'm going to try to just stick with shapes and the chaos of shapes, but this is by no means going to be anything other than my own opinion. But first, before we get into that, I just want to remind you to like, follow, blah, 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 and all that jazz, because it does help, and I appreciate the support. I truly, truly do. Unfortunately, to get things rolling, you know, you have to get into the algorithm and all that crap. So on YouTube, I'm found at Germ Warfare Productions. Excuse my French. So look that up. Follow, like, tell a friend. Social media's Germ Adams, ADDAMS. Also found at Germ Rants, Raves, and Reviews on the Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'm on the TikTok. Yeah, but let's just fucking talk skateboards. Okay, so early days, there is basically, you know, God, where do I start? Let's just jump up to the 60s, where you had skateboards. They started to manufacture, I mean, furniture companies were manufacturing these things, and you put basically a metal type skate wheel that was bolted on one way or another. Either with a through bolt, like we got some of the early ones were through bolts, but it'd be three bolts, and it was basically just this metal, no bearing piece of crap wheel truck mechanism on a flat piece of wood to mimic surfboards, right? And those came in many, many, many different sizes. And like I said, furniture companies were making them for a long time. And they were all no tail, no kick tail. And some of them didn't even have freaking, for instance, any discernible tail or nose. And then to compensate for those that didn't have the wherewithal or the cash to be able to afford one, you could just take, you know, usually your sister's skates and separate them, and you can nail that onto a piece of wood. You want to use like a birch, redwood, just a decent, and they're usually, you know, 7/8, 1 inch thick piece of wood, and you can sand down the edges and whatnot to make it a little bit more comfortable. And as things started to grow more and more in the community, hence the parts and pieces and everything started to grow, and eventually we got into plastic boards. And then now they're called penny boards, which I don't quite know where the fuck that came from. But I have quite a few. I rode them as a kid. My mom's memory back in the early 70s was getting me my I believe they got it for me for free. I mean, not for free, but they paid for. So it'd be, you know, a store-bought red, and I have one around here, a couple of them, red plastic board. It was probably a, I don't think it was a GT, God, I don't even know. But so those boards, you know, even the plastic ones were basically at most, I mean, we're looking like 6-7 inches. And as more and more people in the 70s started to ride bowls and started to understand, and then urethane came into the mix, more and more things were being built better and more conducive to riding skateboards the way that we now rode them, you know. And so as pool riding's coming in, slowly a kicktail comes in. One of the early ones I remember, I believe this is the earliest one. And again, I'm going to get schooled on this, but I don't fucking care because I'm going on my goddamn memory. There's a drum roll. So the kicktail comes in. There's the GNS Warp Tail was an early rendition of that. And the board slowly started getting wider, right? At some point, I don't remember exactly when, but at some freaking point, well, in the early days, there was like Lonnie Toft. He had made an eight-wheeler. I actually have a deck that I had made, and I hooked it up with trucks and everything, tried to ride it. It's called an eight-wheeler. So basically, you have these, you know, tracker mid-tracks or smaller trucks that would fit like, you know, the 6-inch wide board. And you put two of them on the nose side by side and the two of them at the tail side by side. Fucking crazy invention. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. But it's kind of hard to ride and it's not so practical. But let's get back more into the evolution of boards being, they're getting wider for practical purposes, but then you got the freestyle side of skateboarding where it was more practical to have a 5-inch wide board with a similar upturned. Well, at first it was just a kicktail and a flat nose. And we all know Rodney Mullen, and we know them and the, you know, crazy amount of tricks that he invented on that board, which eventually took it to street. And again, I'm not going to go through all the different transitions, but eventually, sometime in the 80s, boards started getting really freaking wide. And in my memory, back as a kid, I always remembered the Dogtown. I always looked up to Dogtown. I was able to get GNS boards because GNS was up on Miramar Road where I lived. At this point, it was in Mira Mesa. So we could go to GNS, their manufacturer, which was right by a park on Miramar Road. I forget what the fucking name of that park was, but again, you had to have money to get in, and I never had money. If I had $20, I'd go out to GNS and get a board, and I'd baby that thing until the thing was, the tails razored, and it was, you know, killing machine. But so boards started getting, you know, wide, like 10 and a half, 11 inch wide. And more and more shapes started coming in. There was the guys out in Texas, Zorlak, for one, had some phenomenal shapes that were coming out. And basically, you know, skaters took initiative and started coming up with their own designs and whatnot. And then that's when, you know, bigger and bigger shapes started coming out. And I just, if you can hear that, hold on. Let's bring it down. It's not doing it. Well, that was Pugsley snoring. He's bored about the skateboard conversation, so let's let him sleep. No, fuck that. Wake him up. So, where am I at? Oh, yeah, so boards started getting, you know, crazier shapes. You got, the Hossoy with the hammerhead. A shape that I loved to ride was a Palo Peralta Lance Mountain. What other shapes? Statham. Steve Stedham had some great shapes, still has great shapes. But for the different type of writing, you kind of, you find what works for you, and diversity is the key to, you know, really enjoying anything that you're into. You find what works for you, and if you have options, then you can explore those options. And, you know, just kind of go from there. Find out what fits for you. And then in the 90s, that's when things started to go big pants, small wheels, so, and everything was just like popsicle shapes all over the place. But they were really popular. They're easier to make. You can make different sizes. You got 7.5 to, I mean, they got it down to where an eighth of an inch or, you know, a 16th of an inch difference. And then, you know, you get these brilliant scientists of skateboarding, like Paul Schmidt, that just, well, he and Deck Crafters, I'm trying to remember his partner back in the day. But Paul is one that you'll probably know if you do a deep dive into skateboarding at all. And you'll probably already know about him. But his shapes just started, you know, in the science of the nose shape, the science of the tail shape, your wheel base, wheel wells, whether or not to use them. I mean, there's so many different sciences, and because all of us are so much different, like, I personally, even making shapes, I made some old 70s shapes. I'll do a different wheelbase. I might do 14-inch wheelbase. I might do 14.5. But then I might want to have like a 3-inch nose on a 70s style Alva looking thing, or, you know, a G&S sort of thing. And then I'll have like a 5.5 tail, but it might be a little bit tapered differently. I might have a different bow to it, because all the different cuts and everything you do to a board is going to actually enable or detract from what you're able to do as far as tricks, but you're also going for what you want to do. You got to be practical. I mean, I've got some of the weirdest shapes, saw cut shapes. I have a ton of coffin boards. Anyone that knows me knows that I'm totally into coffins. But if you got your freestyle board, you want it to be semi-symmetrical, right? And now you can have the double kick, or you can just have a single kick. But it all depends on your bag of tricks and what you want to do. You usually want, you know, I mean, I can't see anyone to argue this, but I'm sure someone will, just to be a dick. But you, when you have the way that your board is set up, you want to have your wheel, not the nut of your wheel, but your actual wheel, in parallel with the side of your board when you're on its side, on its razor's edge, so that you can do different walks and different tricks. A mastermind of, with a huge bag of tricks, is Andy Anderson. So shout out Andy Anderson. Watch any of his videos. This kid's bag of tricks is freaking ridiculous. And he's worked with George Powell, and he's come up with these different shapes, which allow him to do different things to different scoops with his feet, because he's, you know, a crossover. He's extremely diverse. But then if you got a pool skater who primarily skates pools, he might, you know, he might want, like, if you think of Eric Dressen and the way he just floats on a board, he's riding a bigger board, and he knows that thing. He knows exactly what he's capable of, and he doesn't need all the frills and thrills. He's just got this big, nice shape. But then you got, like, oh, God, what's that company that does the big egg shapes? Heroin Skateboards. And they got these eggs. I mean, they're just, they look like, you know, eggs. Not so much a football, but a big egg. And those guys are rippers. I actually have a Madness deck with wheel wells. It's an incredible shape. And then also, keeping in mind, you know, when you're shaping your board, what you're doing is you're losing weight and you're allowing the center point of balance to change. But depending on your riding, where you put your foot, you might want something different. And then it also goes into the concave, which is freaking shit ton of concaves. when I press my boards, it's one particular, I only have one mold, and I got it from Lenny from Valley of Sickness. And that's the only mold. I like the concave. It's a medium concave. It's in all the right places that I need for my footing, for the size of my foot. Versus my wife, who rides a different shape. She rides a popsicle primarily. And the concave and the wheelbase of that is different than what I press here, even though I do have the option to do a different wheelbase. But she's got a smaller foot, and it her shape works better for her. So, hence, that's what she's continued to ride. But the idea of shapes, too, is kind of like a signature of your personality, right? So, if there's something that you really dig that kind of feeds to you, your needs or whatever style of writing that you're doing, especially, oh God, let's get into some of the crazy stuff. If you look at downhill boards and anyone that rides cones, does slalom, Lynn Kramer, I believe she was just finally inducted into the Skateboard Hall of Fame. She's freaking amazing. Still out there teaching skateboarding to the kids, teaching slalom. But if you look at the different shapes of that, and I have one by a company called XLR8. And the concave and the shape of it is so much different in the way that I have my risers and the wheels. And then I also have the reverse kingpin trucks on it for more smoothness and agility when I'm riding it. It's completely different shape. You're not going to be riding this on the street. If you're just riding it to the liquor store, you got to set it up with some cruiser wheels and whatnot. But it's not built that way, right? So then, like I brought up, freestyle, it's its own shape. Downhill, it's its own shape. Then you get into longboards, or even mountain boarding for that matter. Longboards alone, we have quite a few. My daughter's quite avid on her. She has, it's one of ours, it's a Red Rum Skates one. I believe it's about 40 inches. And it's a pintail longboard. And she rides that thing so majestically and faster than mom and I on our shortboards. I'll tell you that much. Because, you know, she's a young one. But she decided to see if we could all race down to mom's work and see who would be faster on what board, and she was the fastest so far because we have timed ourselves. We are a little bit competitive. But as far as some of the longboards that we have in the collection, we've got, you know, drop downs, drop throughs, where, well, a drop down set up just regularly, you got your board. You got your nose, which is virtually no nose and virtually no tail. It's basically just the mounting area to put your truck. And then it actually drops in, dips into a platform. So it's kind of like a lowrider. Now, you can even up that game if the board has a capability where you can mount the truck up on top. And again, these are not trick boards. These are, you know, just longboard cruising. I have a couple shorter ones that I'll do that are low profile, and they're strictly just for me to run cones. Again, it's not conventional, but what the fuck? Am I conventional? No. And then there's different sizes of those, and then we actually have somewhere in the collection is a couple, or maybe a few. God, I don't know. We have, you know, quite a few boards here. But they're single kick. Yeah, I've got a few of them. I actually shaped one. I gave one to Eric Sanders to test out a while back. The cat that was making those, I'm trying to remember his name to give him a shout out. But now he's actually pressing and shaping for GNS here locally. He picked up that gig. So he's not doing so much independent stuff. But yeah, so a single kick longboard. With, I think I did a 16-inch wheelbase, which is another controversy where you go into, you know, how to measure wheelbase, blah, 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 blah. You know, fuck all that. Just Paul Schmidt does it the best, but I'm just trying to give a general idea just to chat about. And so we have a few single kick longboards, upwards of like 32 inches or so. So not too drastic, but those I actually like for, as I used to call them, wheelies, but now it's called manuals. And one of them, it's about 6 inches wide, and the tail, I believe, is about 5 inch in length, but it kind of tapers, so it's only about 4 inches at the very tail end. But I just get my foot up in that, and I find my balance, and I could just cruise manual so easily. And that's a lot of fun for me to do. We bastardized. Back in the day, like I was saying, I mean, you would take whatever piece of wood and just nail your skate to it or whatever, but you can also do that with regular skate trucks. And there's Chris Hossam a while ago on Instagram was, post your weirdest board. And we've got a few that were taken from old water skis. And then we just put trucks on them. There's an old water ski that was cut down with no tail, and it's like, fuck, I don't know, an inch and a quarter thick, and I put 8 trucks on it, so it's just one after another, the goofiest looking thing, and we would ride that out front. We had this one water ski that's like a 7 or 8 foot water ski, and you know, the nose comes up in a nice scoop, so you can use that as a kicktail. And V and I have some videos somewhere of us both on that, cruising that together. But the thing, again, this is not new tutorial about skateboard shapes or anything. I just want to rant about skateboard shapes and how fun it is. And realistically, you know what? Fuck it. Find what works for you. There's no reason to, fuck, for that matter, we have a skateboard that's in the shape of a bat, which I've written a few times. It's, when it comes to skateboarding, the reason why it's a freaking crime is because it's so goddamn fun and people try to regulate it. It used to be a crime for many years. Now it's a crime to, if you can, and you have the wherewithal, to not get on a skateboard and just roll around. And there's a shape, there's size, there's wheels, there's so many options now. Just get out and skate. More skate, less hate. More pugs, less hate. This is the Germ Rants and Raves podcast. I just ranted and raved and probably made absolutely no sense. And you have to go back and listen again so that you can question why you wasted your time twice listening to the Germ Rants and Raves podcast. Shout out Red Rum Skates. We're at Germ Warfare Productions. Find us on YouTube, Germ Warfare Productions. Find us on Instagram, Germ Rants, Raves, and Reviews. Shout out to my homies, Brian and Brian, and my band, The Left Outs. Shout out to my wife, V, Severina. Shout out Pugsley for sitting here snoring while I'm ranting. Support your local skateboarder. I don't know. Just And the immortal words, and rest in peace, Jeff Grosso, turn this fucking thing off and go out and skate. Thanks, guys.